As Doug mentioned in his opening this morning, as a leadership team, we talked about a theme for the coming year, and what we decided on is worship. And we know the word well. But it was amazing to me as we sat down, we brainstormed about things that we want to preach about, how many different ways we can go with this thing of worship. So I want to give you an overview of worship this morning, and I'm going to start out with a question. It's actually the title of my sermon this morning. My question is in no way designed to be a legalistic question, and it's this: worship, is my sacrifice worthy of your sacrifice? And I preface that with that question because I don't think there's any way that we can earn our salvation. But is what I'm doing a sweet-smelling savor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So as, by way of introduction this morning, when I started studying, I wasn't thinking of this as a definition. But worship, very simply, it's not for us. Worship isn't about us. Worship is a gift that we give to someone else who deserves it. Worship is for God. But we can lose sight of this truth very easily. Sometimes we say, oh, worship was really good this morning, and I was touched. You know, we gather on the first day of the week, Sunday, to give Him our first fruits. Something very interesting happens when we worship. When we start to praise Him, we are somehow changed. By experiencing God, we are changed. We see ourselves, and I think this is the biggest thing in worship, we see ourselves in a different way than when we came before we worshiped. Oftentimes I come to church on a Sunday morning and I can be pretty self-sufficient. And like I got it together, or whatever that may be. And halfway through singing, I'm like, really, God? You did this for me? And it's at that point all pride, everything I thought about myself, it sort of goes out the window. And all I can do then is react to the person who really deserves it. And that's what worship is. Instead of pride and sin and failure, like I can deal with sometimes on a Sunday morning, I get to see grace and mercy that's big enough to cover all my shortcomings. This morning's passage that I've chosen to read this morning is from Genesis 22. It's about Abraham and a sacrifice that I don't like to talk about, or what God called him to do. It's really difficult for a preacher to explain this passage in some ways. But I'm going to dive into it this morning, and I just pray that the Lord would direct our hearts, direct our minds, and take us to a really good spot as we think about worship this morning. So let's just bow for a word of prayer. Lord, as we open up your book to Genesis chapter 22, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see worship in new ways this morning. Lord, it's not about what we do to earn our salvation, but I think we need to develop a healthy understanding of what worship is. Help us to do that this morning. In your name, amen. Okay, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. It says this: "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I, Lord. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. First point I want to make is found in verse 3 this morning. Worship is submissive. And you say, oh, come on, Gail. You're going to start out with that word right away at the beginning of the service? Yeah, I'm going to. So as I think of submission, I got to give you an illustration of a king, okay? So I don't think it's this way anymore, but when you were brought before the king, it wasn't in your best interest to come before the king standing up with your chest puffed out, because the king had the power to knight you, but he also had the power to destroy you. And so your posture, when you came before the king, was you knelt. No questions asked. It was the proper thing to do. You knelt before the king because, in essence, he held your life in your hands. Worship, the word worship comes from the word worth. I could call worship worth-ship. Is God our Father worth it? Is he somebody that we should actually worship? Is he worth it? What has he done in your life? I think one of the things that gets me when I sing is sometimes I can just weep because I know I'm not worth it. But what he's done in my life makes it worth it for me to worship. Revelation 4:11 says, You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So I look at this story. I'm just going to review it in my own words. So God comes to Abraham, and sometimes I struggle with this, but God came to test Abraham, okay? And I think we've all faced tests like that in our lives. There's some tests that I've not passed with flying colors, and there's some tests that took me a long time to pass, maybe on the second or third attempt, like a gracious teacher would give you extra credit or a chance to retake your test. So he comes to test Abraham, and he asks the unthinkable. He says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, that doesn't make any sense in our culture, and I can't even wrap my brain around this because I would not pass this particular test. Because there's no way that I could go out and I could sacrifice my firstborn son. That's just impossible for me to do. Because I love him way too much. It's impossible for me to do that. But I want you to get something here. There's some hard things in our life. And God continues to ask us for our worship. And sometimes it doesn't look to me like in those really difficult times that it's worth it to worship. But I want to paint a picture that this morning that it is worth it. So as Abraham gets this command, he knows exactly what he has to do. And I can imagine as he gives his servants instructions to get the donkey ready, and they put the wood on the donkey, and they're carrying fire with them and coals to light the thing. It probably just seemed normal to everybody else around them. And as I look across this congregation, all of you, you look pretty normal to me. Most of you. No, I'm just kidding. You look pretty normal. But right now there's a big test in your life that probably the person sitting beside you doesn't even know about. So it looked pretty normal to the servants as they were going to prepare a sacrifice. And they went on their journey, and they got to the spot where Abraham was looking out, and he could see the mount where he was going to do the sacrifice. And he just said, and he stopped, and he turned to the servants and said, "You guys wait here." And then he gets the wood and he piles it on Isaac's arms. Struggling with this. He piles it on Isaac's arms to carry the wood that he doesn't know that he's going to be the sacrifice. And they walk up the mountain. And if I know anything about a dad, every bone in Abraham's body wanted to turn back and not do it. And he struggled. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but I know he struggled every step up that mountain. And they got to the mountain. And Isaac says, "Dad, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" And at this point, Abraham isn't making eye contact with Isaac anymore because he can't. And he says, "God will provide." But then it gets much worse. He lays out the wood and he binds Isaac on the altar, and he's willing to do what God ask him to do. And as he's there, knife in hand, God stops him and says, "I want you to turn around and I want you to look into the thicket because I have provided a lamb." I mentioned this doesn't make any sense in our culture because it's something that we can't do, something we can't even fathom. But I guarantee you, within this room, there's some big, big things that if people would know about, they couldn't even fathom how hard it is to worship God through the situation that you're dealing with. You know, in many ways, for Abraham, it had to feel like he was getting the knife stabbed in his back and then twisted. So our first thing is worship is submissive. In verse 3, it says, and Abraham, actually verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him for a burnt offering. And Abraham was willing to do that. He was willing to do what his king was asking him to do. You know, there's many times when somebody went before a king and their last posture that they wanted to do was kneel before the king, because they could have been upset at him. They could have struggled with who he was and how he wielded his power. And the last position they wanted to be in was worship or kneeling. But if you value your life, you had to kneel. Can I make a spiritual parallel here? If you value your life, if you value who you are as a person, are you willing to trust God through those difficult circumstances? Are you willing to submit to worship of our Father? The second thing in this submissive part is he, in verse 3, he went, it says, rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and he went. It says, go and sacrifice your son. He did not hesitate. I want to remind you this morning, there will be times when worship and obedience and submission will be the very last thing on your mind, the very last thing that you want to do. God may be asking you, you know, to give, and you ask, how? I can barely make ends meet now. You may be asked to love, and again you ask, how? That person just gets on my nerves. You may be asked to forgive, and you ask, how? They did me so wrong. They hurt me so bad. You may be asked to trust, and you're going to ask again, how? They let me down so many times. You may ask to be served, and you ask, why? What's the use? Nobody notices. That just doesn't even make sense. You may be asked to attend, and you say, I don't prefer that place. You may be asked to talk to a person, and you say, not me. I'm too shy for that. Or I'm too busy to invest in that situation. And in worship, you may be called to worship, and you say, well, I don't like that song. I don't like that style. Abraham didn't hesitate when he was asked to do a very difficult thing. When God is prompting you to obey, to submit to what he's calling you to, I challenge you to do it. Because in the end, when you can accomplish those things, those hard things, God gives you your life. He's a redeemer, a provider. So number one, again, was worship is submissive. The second thing here is worship is steadfast. Abraham's life was marked by steadfastness. You see, this wasn't the first time God tested him. He asked him to just leave his roots and go and follow where God wanted him to go. So he just pulled up his roots and he left. God told him that he was going to bless him with a son that's going to be, his descendants are going to number more than the hairs of his head and more than the sands of the sea. This wasn't the first time Abraham was tested, but he was still willing to be used. I challenge you to worship when it's difficult. Steadfast, worship even when it's hard to worship. You know, last Sunday, I think, is a good example of this. There was a lot going on here last Sunday. I don't know if you felt it, but I did. There was a spirit of worship here that was tangibly felt. And I can offer some things, but from my vantage point, as I was standing over there, I saw worship happening. And I'll just start. Heidi Eversole wasn't here to defend herself this morning, but I can speak into this. She was wrestling with God. She was wrestling with a hard decision, a hard move. But she was steadfast. And I could see on her face the pain that was there, but it was like, almost no matter what, God, I will do what you're calling me to do. In the back there, Sam and Kathy were sitting, just wrestling deeply with brain surgery for Matt. And they were deeply touched by the songs, by the words that were spoken that last Sunday morning. Up here, John Assyria, he was standing right there, was worshiping, knowing that he didn't have contact with his father, fearing for his life even. But he was worshiping despite the hard things that are going on. And I challenge you to worship steadfastly. Because when life doesn't make any sense, we can go a couple of different ways. The one way, we can just reject everything that God is offering and become bitter and angry. Or we can accept God's offering and even the hardest things, knowing that God will lift us up in our deepest struggle. The third thing I like to talk about is found in verse 5. Worship. You need to separate worship from everything else in your life. Verse 5 says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Worship, I think, takes separation. You know, when we come here on a Sunday morning, I don't know how you come. I know how I come sometimes. I'm trying to figure out what I didn't accomplish last week and what I can accomplish for this coming week. I could think about something that didn't go well, and it can bug me through the whole service. Worship needs to be separated. You need to shut out the world and separate yourself unto the Lord. Matthew 15:8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This whole thing of worship, we got the... Let me back up. I'm not going to accuse you of anything. I got the ability to look like I worship, and I don't separate myself from what's dragging me down, my busyness, whatever I'm dealing with. Sometimes I really struggle to separate that and just worship. And just worship. Matthew 15:8 again, I'm going to read it because I think it is important. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My title, remember it? Is my sacrifice worthy of your sacrifice? Am I doing the hard things in my life to draw myself closer to him? I want to read John 4:23-24. So take the time to turn to that. John 4:23-24. John 4:23-24. Says this, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Christian church has been around for 2,000 years. The Christian church has also struggled for 2,000 years to worship in spirit and in truth. We can put up some high fences that would seem to guarantee our place in heaven. The Catholic Church was born out of this premise. And you could say there's certain segments of the Amish faith that would fall into this trap. You could say in every church in America, we can fall into this trap of not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worship needs to be with spirit. It cannot be a ritual. Discerning truth and standing for that truth without apology. That's a form of worship in itself. Another thing that worship needs to be separate is, you know, worldly concerns contaminate our public worship. And I want you to make a mental list of the things that you're struggling with right now and think about how that affects your worship. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a tough discussion that you had with somebody. You name it. It's there. We need to separate those things which keep us from worshiping in spirit. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're thinking about what we have to accomplish next week. So worship needs to be separate. The fourth thing is worship needs to be sacrificial. And this is found in verses 5 through 10. Yeah, Abraham was about to do the ultimate sacrifice. And again, I can't comprehend how deep of a cost this was to Abraham. Do you know who he was sacrificing? The very person who God had promised would be the father of many nations. Do you get the significance of that? How deep? I mean, this is, I know the pain of a father's one thing, but Abraham had to be thinking, Lord, we got a problem here. Sarah's not going to have any more children, okay? You promised me this. But can you think about the problems that you have? And you try to argue with God and you say, but God, I'm doing this stuff already. What more can I do? I know I'm right in this situation. Help me. You see the struggle? It's not wrong to struggle. So worship is sacrificial. There's a deep cost. You know, there's another story in the Bible about a sacrifice that I struggle with a little bit. So it's Cain and Abel. And I've often wondered why God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. Because he offered his first fruits. And you can say it's about blood sacrifice. And that probably has something to do with it. But I'm just wondering how Cain and Abel got along with each other. Do you think they got along with each other before the sacrifice? I'm just curious about that. Do you think there was deep animosity long before the sacrifice? I don't see how you can just do a sacrifice and soon after that kill your brother. I think there was something else going on here, guys. And I think it was, and I'm not saying this is all of it, but I think Cain's attitude toward Abel was very significant in God rejecting his sacrifice. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, I'm going to read that real quick. It is a really sobering verse to me. Therefore, and get this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and I think that gift here is talking about worship, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, let's get out of this King James Version a little bit. Therefore, remember that you have a beef against your brother. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way and first be reconciled, or first have a restored relationship with your brother, and then come and offer the gift. I got to believe that Cain had animosity in his heart toward Abel long before the sacrifice took place. It made him mad after the sacrifice. I know that. Because he felt like he was being played a favorite too. So as we wrap up our service today, as we wrap up this message, I said worship is sacrificial. It comes at a deep cost. List some costly things in your life. List some things that if people would know about, it would cost you a lot of stuff. Things like what we do with our time. What would it look like if God would take away your dreams, your plans, and put you on a different course? What about pride? Or pleasures? Or maybe it's secret sins. You know, one of the reasons why it's very difficult to worship God in spirit and in truth is because it costs too much. But we want to worship because that's what we're created to do. And we want to fake our way through it, at least, because we're nervous about what other people think about us. Genuine worship requires that everything of value be placed on the altar before him. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Remember, I talked about separating it from it. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Started out with a question in my title. Is my sacrifice worthy of your sacrifice, my Father? As I look at the story of Abraham, I am reminded again that worship doesn't just happen. Rather, it takes a conscious effort of the will and heart to submit, number one, to the Father. It takes perseverance to be steadfast, number two, in our worship, especially when it gets difficult. It takes a conscious decision to separate ourselves from the things that distract our worship. And above all, it takes sacrifice to truly worship God. This morning, my hope and my prayer is found in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before our God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I thank you for truly covering me with your mercy and your grace. And Lord, as we think about worship and the posture of worship, I pray that each one in this congregation would be acceptable in your sight as we think of our bodies as a living sacrifice.